Today, we review Rogue One, Mark is overwhelmed by his Overwatch Christmas gift, and then we talk about some of gaming's best moments in 2016. All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. I did it! Hi! Hello! Hey there! Welcome to episode 16. This is Trust Circle. I am your host, Devin Valdivia, and I am now in charge of the structural stability of this podcast, which is terrifying. I'm joined by my wife, Valerie. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Devin.
And Top Shelf Gaming, founder, editor-in-chief, crazy person stutterer, Marcus Garrett.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas, ladies and spaghettis.
Hey, that's right. This is the last...
Happy New Year.
We are less than a week away. So, welcome to Trust Circle. We are Top Shelf Gaming's number one and only podcast. Every week, we talk games with two people who love them and one person who appreciates them, for lack of another word.
I do.
You do. You appreciate them.
I do.
You don't play games, though.
I don't.
Because you're a mub.
She's a mub?
A mub with a nub.
Mub.
I'm not sure I want to know what mub means.
She's just a mub. Actually, I know where that came from now. I gave my friend a nickname, and she didn't like it, and so her retaliation nickname for me was to call me Mub.
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 That's a weird retaliation nickname. Yeah. It's like, oh, you got me, Mub.
Well, I called her Jeb.
Jeb.
Fair enough. Well, I'm glad you appreciate games, Valerie, because today is going to be all about appreciating games of this year. But before we get to that, how was your guys' weeks?
Yesterday, I traveled to four cities in one day, and it was very tiring. And I had an African lady, a Senegalese lady, pull on my hair for 5 hours. It was very painful. And then I went...
Oh, you're talking about, like, your new stylings up there.
My new do.
I was like... Were you at, like, a meeting and she was just, like, doing that the whole time?
Yeah, she just pulled away.
Hey, hey.
Yeah. It was a meeting for people with really weird, obsessive, compulsive habits, and hers was pulling hair.
I need this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very long meeting.
I like how your hair is just kind of tucked into your pocket right now.
Is it really?
It looks pretty.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
This is my hair. This is my hair spot.
Yeah. It's my hair bed. Because... Mm-hmm. Every part of me is tired. So even my hair needs...
Just wants to go nap now.
Yeah, it is all needed.
Big so nap. Why four cities? That's too many cities, Marcus.
I woke up in Corona. I had breakfast with my family. I actually treated them to breakfast, which was cool. I've never done that. My mom, I remembered, like... I proposed breakfast. It's like, yeah, you know, I don't have a lot of time here. I have to go do other things, but I have, like, what if we all just got breakfast before I had to leave? And then I remembered, like, exactly, like, as we were driving there, why I hate going to get meals. Or, like, going out to eat with my family.
Uh-huh.
And it's because my mom is, when it comes to, like, eating out, I just cannot be pleased. And, but luckily, like, as picky as she is, as unsatisfied as she is with, like, everything, when it comes to eating out...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, and she doesn't really know why, but she loves Denny's.
Denny's.
Like, she, like, that's, like, the only thing that she likes. And Denny's is, I mean, Denny's is good, but it's not the, like, high bar of, like, you know, really, like, quality food.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, it's...
It's not haute cuisine.
No.
It's but, sure it's niche higher than Norm's.
Yeah. But she loves Norm's, too.
The three of us have many a time frequented a Norm's.
Including my birthday.
Including your birthday.
If you remember that.
Yeah, totally, dude.
You don't. Okay, so
what?
I don't even know if you were a part of this yet.
Was this your most recent birthday?
Did you go to Tribe?
I did.
Oh,
yes, I did.
Now I remember.
So our mutual friend, can I say his name?
Sure.
Our mutual friend Anton.
Welcome to the podcast, Anton.
For my birthday, he forced me to go to Norm's, and I didn't want to go there, and I'm really introverted, and most of the people there were, like, people who I was only slightly acquainted with, and
yeah,
I didn't
still
know,
pretty new.
And I knew Anton, and I only knew, like,
yeah, you basically knew Anton,
yeah,
and hadn't met me,
yeah, and so he forces me to go to dinner with all these people that I don't know at this at this restaurant I don't want to.
It's like the last place
at.
You'd elect to go to, really.
And
when
then
it comes to
and
it.
Then
and then he made me pay for it.
Oh my god!
And I was just like, "What? This is the worst birthday ever!" And I was just like really sad.
But that wasn't the time you ran around like a raptor.
That was not that.
That was just for fun.
That was a.
That was at P.F. Chang's, right?
I did it there too.
I heard about the second hand from Dina.
I forgot about P.F. Chang's. Oh, there's so many times.
So, another. So this other Norm's trip. In college with that, same group.
Mm-hmm.
After I had gotten to know them better, after we'd become friends, one of the girls dared me, like, she said that she would give me some amount of money.
I think she would buy you fries.
Okay, yeah. If I ran around Norm's acting like a velociraptor. And I did it.
You did it.
I totes did it. And it was historic. Or
prehistoric.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
I would have said it's Jurassic, but I'm not sure if velociraptors were actually alive in the Jurassic period. One of the many flaws of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it's just full of loopholes. And so after breakfast, I went to L.A., mm-hmm. Second City. I think it was...
You went from Corona to L.A.?
Yeah.
Oof.
No, it was clear because it was like at 11.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, still.
Yeah, there's still a drive.
Yeah. It took longer to get from Second City to Third City,
mm-hmm.
which was only like 12 miles versus that 40. That
mm-hmm.
So then from getting my hair did, I went to Burbank,
mm-hmm.
meet up with an old friend. We ate at Moana's.
Moana.
Make way.
Moana's time you knew. I have that whole song memorized.
That's
true. So, like, low-key,
mm-hmm.
there's the present that I want most for Christmas is the one that I'm too embarrassed to ask for.
Is
it the Moana soundtrack?
It is the Moana soundtrack.
You can just listen to that on Spotify.
Yeah, but then there's ads, and then you just can't. And I want to listen to it in my car. And I want to put it in my CD player. Just put it in there.
I pay for the premium because I did the 3 months free,
mm-hmm.
and then it ran out, and I was like, it's like $10 a month.
You know what's pretty good? Not having those ads.
Yeah.
So now we just kind of skimp off the same.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, they have that family account now where it's like 15 for two people.
Oh, really?
But like, we don't really overlap that much.
Yeah.
Because I'm working here, she doesn't listen to it at her work, so I'm listening to it at home, and then if we're both home,
we'll just,
so it's...
Just agree on something, I guess.
Yeah. And then, finally, back to Santa Ana, and as soon as I got home, I, like, went straight to bed immediately. And now I'm here, about a little less than 24 hours later.
Well, that's more adventure than I had yesterday. Yesterday, I had the day off, and so I was here.
Great.
Yeah, it was great.
Valerie, you had the day off today, didn't you?
I did. Sure did.
I heard you slept in a little bit.
You've been up for like 4 hours.
I So, no, I haven't. Do some math, Devin. Gosh. I woke up at 10:30 a.m., which is about 4 hours longer than I would sleep in on a normal day off. So I was thrown for a loop this morning.
Did you feel rested when you woke up? Or did you sleep so long that you didn't feel rested?
I think I felt rested, but part of that was because I was like, oh god, I have to do something now. I have to make something of this day. So then I had extra energy due to panic.
I've wasted so much.
Yeah, but what did you do today?
I did some art, and then I also finished Marcus's Christmas present.
Which was?
Oh, that's what you're leading me. Okay, I painted. I found a set of blank Russian nesting dolls at the art store. So I just got them because I thought these are cool. And then I was like, what should I paint on these? And then Devin, credit be to him, I suppose, was like, you should paint Overwatch characters on them for Marcus. And I was like, okay. So, biggest Russian doll. That's May. Second biggest Russian doll. Zenyatta. Third biggest. And I guess third smallest. Sombra. Second smallest. Ganymede. Smallestest. Ganymede. Snowball.
So.
The smallest boy.
The thing is, people, you can't see this, but this is the most incredible thing I may have ever seen. This is we're gonna post pictures of this because this is a truly beautiful, like, the amount of money I would have paid for this, like, minimum $80. I would go up to two, honestly. 200, not
$80 to
$2. Marcus, that's down. Yeah.
You would pay all the money until it looped back around.
Yeah. $2. It's infinite.
And this is
very fun.
This is so beautiful.
And I knew Marcus would like
it. And I'm very thankful. This is awesome. I was telling Valerie earlier that, like, you know, this is like, I don't know. I'm looking at it now and I can't make words because it's, like, so beautiful. And, thanks.
You're welcome.
But speaking of Zenyatta, you and I have a score to settle.
Okay. So, audience. You know how beloved video game Overwatch releases holiday skins. We all know and love that, right? They released holiday Winter Wonderland themed skins. And Zenyatta now looks like a little nutcracker. We've been calling him Nutyatta colloquially. Devin thinks that his skin is actually named Nutyatta, and I will bet him that it is not.
I think it's really called Nutyatta.
I think it's really called Nutcracker.
I think it's
called... So, what's the bet?
The bet is... But pause.
You Devin, can't
pause.
Look at
can't
it
can't look
yet.
At it yet.
You gotta...
What's our
okay.
bet?
Set okay. conditions.
Yeah. Okay.
What's our bet?
So, I mean, Marcus, you're the...
The mediator?
Yeah, you're the mediator here. What do you think is a...
Okay. I don't know... So... I thought of something, but I don't know if you would be willing to do it.
You could just
so I'm gonna that. Throw it out throw it there, out. And you can veto it.
Okay.
So if you lose,
mm-hmm.
you have to. So you guys got pizza.
A pizza.
The pizza that you have left over,
mm-hmm.
it has meat on it.
Yeah.
You're a vegetarian.
Uh-huh.
If you lose, you have to eat one sausage and one pepperoni off of one of those slices. I don't know if that's too far for your personal boundaries.
Huh, that's interesting.
But if Devin loses, I don't know what does Devin really not like to eat?
There's not a whole lot.
All right, then you have to lick the bottom of my foot.
No, I don't want that. Marcus, I have to kiss that mouth. I don't want that. If Devin... Okay, Devin doesn't like... Devin has to...
Oh, Devin has to eat something really, really spicy.
I mean, you just threw away that chocolate. I would have eaten one whole of those.
Let's see. No, I think...
We had some
no, Devin
spicy
really
chocolate.
Doesn't like...
What?
Being tickled. If Devin loses, the two of us against him for 1 minute.
Hold on. A full minute? That's actual torture.
That's...
Although, I'm making her eat meat, and she's vegetarian.
Yeah, no, that's not an equal punishment.
She's vegetarian. She's eating it.
Well, what should my punishment be then?
I mean, I don't want to get tickled. This seems
eye
like,
for
this
an
seems,
eye?
This seems too harsh.
Should we do money then?
We're married. It's the same thing.
Well,
unless you pay me.
Fine. Okay. The winner, the loser has to.
Someone, one of you has to buy me lunch.
For lunch. And it's going to be the loser.
Yeah.
This seems weird.
But I'm okay with it.
But if Marcus approves it, I mean, he's the editor in chief, so. Yeah. He wouldn't lead us astray.
Certainly. I would never do that.
Never, ever.
He'd never do that to us. All right.
It is, for the record,
so
audience,
I think.
In my belief, it's Nutcracker.
I'm looking at a page right now.
Okay.
I'm assuming this is probably the right stuff, because it has, you know, Mary May, Scrooge McCree, Frostbite Farah, Shiver Reaper, Rudolph Roadhog, Peppermint Sombra, Santa Clad Torbjorn, Jingle Tracer, Yeti Winston, Frosted Zarya, Nutcracker Zenyatta.
Ooh! What's this, audience? A twist! I'm right.
I was convinced it was Nutyada. Really was.
They wouldn't call it Nutyada because Nutyada sounds terrible.
Okay, well, no, his Halloween skin is Skullyada.
Yeah.
So there's precedent for that.
Which doesn't sound terrible, though.
Yeah, that doesn't sound terrible.
I thought it was Nutyada.
So it would be Nutyada.
All right, I owe Marcus lunch.
Yeah, you do. Remember how you don't doubt me when it comes to Overwatch trivia?
This is... To be fair, I have learned this lesson before. I should have known better.
Yeah. Devin was like, I wonder where Roadhog's from. He's from Australia. Boom. Devin was like, I wonder why Tracer's on the cover. Because Tracer is the first character they designed. Boom. I go on.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
that's settled law now, Marcus.
Settled
now,
law.
We have a lunch
date. Where do you
want
to go to lunch, Marcus? Where do you want Devin to take you?
Yeah. Sky is the limit.
Yeah.
Here, I'll pay for your brunch at filling station.
Yeah. we'll go back to a Hitchison.
Yes. Well, I want to talk about my week.
Yeah. What did you do this week, Mr. Tea Sipper?
Yeah. Mr. Empty Pockets Devin. Paying for Marcus's lunch, yeah.
This is all my food now, is my tea.
And all his games and all of my lunches.
So,
this is Devin's life now.
So, a couple things happened, both on Friday, that I want to talk about. The second thing is just D&D again. We continue to play. My character, quote-unquote, died. I got attacked, my HP reached zero, and so I was in, like, my limbo state, so you have to roll your d20. If you get above 10, it's a saving throw. You have to roll 3 of those to be revived back to 1 HP. And if you roll 3 under 0, then you are dead. And so I spent most of the night like in that state, because we just had like a really crazy, like most of the night was like just one like super intense fight.
It was like a bunch of wolves.
Wolves
will get you.
Wily wolves.
We've fought our fair share of wolves, but these ones, we were sleeping and they surprise attack. Like I was like waking up and it just ripped into me and that was it.
Dang.
But while I was in limbo dying, I had a lot of free time because I was role playing. I was intentionally.
I had a lot of free time while I was dying
because I was intentionally not. I was trying to not pay attention to the battle, so that if I were revived, I'd wake up not really knowing what was happening. Like, I consciously made that decision.
Getting really into this stuff.
Yeah, because it's super cool. So I was like, okay, like I'll preoccupy myself so I'm not really, like, super, you know, aware of what's going on. And so I just went off to my own, got my phone out, and just started researching my rogue, which I've kind of been learning just by kind of, like, fumbling through it. But I finally sat down and just kind of, like, read through some things, and I downloaded and bought a character sheet app, which worked a lot better than the scrap of paper that I've been using to keep my stats on before. And so, like, I'm actually, like, really pumped for this coming week because I feel like I'm, like, a lot more confident in my character, like, my abilities. Like, I had abilities I hadn't been using that actually could have saved my life. but I didn't use it because I didn't know. But so now, like, I'm ready to get back in there. And I've decided I'm forcing you to join us. we can help build your character, like, before you even get there. Like, I have all that info. Marcus will be joining us.
Can we do it on the cast?
I think we should.
A live D&D.
Live D&D cast.
Yes.
It'll be really boring if you're not into it, but maybe we make like a bonus episode or something.
Yeah. For all you cool babies out there.
Cool adventure babies.
Cool adventure babies. But before that, Valerie and I went to go see Rogue One.
A Star Wars story?
A Star Wars story.
The Star Wars story.
The only Star Wars story.
Yeah.
There's episodes and there's stories, and this is the story.
A man named Solo. Skywalker? It's a Brady Bunch reference.
I don't know the Brady Bunch.
She doesn't know the Brady Bunch?
I know there's there's like a bunch of kids, right?
There's three kids.
There's more than three. That's the problem, right?
There's six kids. There's a man, a woman, and their butler named Alice.
And their dog.
Wow.
And their dog. Woof woof.
It's a lot of...
hence the hijinks.
It's a bunch of Bradys. all in one house.
There's a story.
Yeah.
A Brady Bunch story.
So Rogue One. So Marcus, you and I talked about this a little before I saw it and then you saw it. And neither one of us was really like super excited. Like... I was excited because it's Star Wars. I love Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It's probably my favorite media franchise.
Even more than Harry
Potter? I was about to say, it's probably... I would give Star Wars the slight edge just because it's been part of my life for longer.
Yeah.
But they're like right there.
Okay.
So like I was excited because more Star Wars. I was more excited about this movie than I was about Fantastic Beasts, mm-hmm. which we still haven't seen. And I don't really...
There's too many other good movies, you know? There's a lot of good movies. Sorry, Beasts.
But having seen it, very pleased. It's like it's the movie I didn't know I wanted.
And by the way, this is spoiler free, so if you haven't seen it yet, you guys can like relax.
Yeah, no, it's there's not much to spoil because like if you know Star Wars really at all, like you kind of know what this story is.
Yeah,
and I feel like that actually made the movie more enjoyable because I could just kind of relax and just take in just. The details of that, like when I watched Force Awakens out, like the first time I had to watch it twice. The first time I was just like, shaking in my seat, just trying to like,
what's happening?
This was just more relaxed. Like, it's like, okay, let me just, I noticed a lot more like background details. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good Star Wars movie. It's got stars and wars.
Yeah.
Well, it's like how in like ancient Greek theater or like, plays, they'd have like a soothsayer explain to the protagonist like what their fate was.
Yeah.
So that way it wasn't the drama was not created by wondering what was going to happen to the characters, but wondering how they were going to get there.
It's more about the journey than, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, and this movie is absolutely the journey, not the destination, because the destination is 1977.
Yeah.
So.
You know, it's super cool. I think I was even less excited than you were. Mm-hmm. Like, the only reason why I did see it as soon as I did was because I heard so many positive reviews. If it wasn't for all of the positive things, I wouldn't have gone out of my way to mm-hmm. go see it this past weekend. And I think it was cool to kind of have that context. To see how they rationalize certain things and even in some cases course correct some mm-hmm. of the issues in the classic movies.
Yeah, there are some subtle retconning to kind of make things fit a little nicer.
Yeah, yeah. And so I thought all of that was really cool. And my best friend Gary, he was on this show, who I saw it with him. It was his second time seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And his second time, he like noticed so many more things, and he's a much bigger Star Wars fan than I am. I'm still a baby Star Wars fan. I've only been into Star Wars for a year,
mm-hmm.
so like I do really like it, but I didn't grow up with it. I mm-hmm. don't have those like memories, and I don't know these movies scene by scene like you know you probably do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was telling me about all these like little things that he noticed and all of these nods and all of these Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is really a story for the fans. And I think that's really cool. It was just fan service. And yeah. it's
But it's high quality fan service. It's not pandering in the way that I think people had issue with Force Awakens. Not just because it was a retelling of A New Hope, but the way that that movie handled its fan service was a little heavy-handed.
Yeah.
This here, it just seems...
You're Han Solo.
Yeah.
I had stories about you.
Yeah, and just, you know, and just direct quoting things from previous movies.
Yeah.
But this just seemed confident, like, we know you know this lore, and, you know, we're going to wink at you, but, like, it's just that wink. We're not going to linger on the wink. We're just going to throw it out there. We know you're smart enough to grab it. Like, we're good to go. Let's just have fun.
Yeah.
Like, despite, I guess, kind of the somber tone of this movie, I think it's a really fun movie.
Yeah. You know, what I think, too, is it was hard for me to get invested because...
you know where the story goes.
Yeah, and you know that, like... They're bringing in all these new characters
that you don't see in the other movies.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, okay, well, there's no connection to these characters, like, outside of this film.
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever happens, you know, if they just go on their own way, you know, like we don't see them.
Yeah,
they're probably not going to come back in episode 8, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So, like... This movie is just this time capsule, so mm-hmm. it was hard for me. Like, I don't feel any connection to any one character.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just the character development itself just wasn't very good. Or maybe that's just my mindset of just knowing that, like, they're going to live in this movie and that's all they're going to be. Because mm-hmm. I know, you know, they're making the Han Solo prequel movie,
mm-hmm.
and like that one gets me excited because I know that Han Solo and Lando are in at least 2 to 3 other, you know, Star Wars films, mm-hmm. and that prequel is like those characters are going to live on outside of that. So it was hard for me to connect with the characters in Rogue One, but the movie overall. Especially its third act. Whew. It was fun, man. It was a good ride.
Yeah, they hit all the Star Wars marks.
Yeah.
Valerie, as, mm-hmm. you know, not a Star Wars opponent, but not necessarily, you know, you're not an active mm-hmm. fan by any means.
Yeah.
You know, what were your general thoughts of the movie? Just as one, just as a movie, like, you know, mm-hmm. pretend it wasn't attached to any other major franchise, but then also... knowing that it is part of Star Wars, like, kind of, what are your thoughts around that?
I mean, I feel like I don't have a ton of offerings to offer because I'm not super invested in it. So that way,
I mean,
it didn't have a large emotional bearing on my
life.
It's
worked for 15 episodes of this
podcast. Just, mm-hmm. what were your opinions about the movie? Just,
let's see. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was good.
I'm not going to bite you.
I'm just trying to formulate a coherent thought. The effects were pretty good. Like, the, pretty good. The effects were really good.
They were, like, kind of, pretty, pretty cutting edge, but,
the
whatever.
Best effects money could buy, whatever. But, like, mostly the... What I mean by pretty good is, like, the integration. Like, now we're at a stage where, like, you can't tell, like, where they begin or end for the most part. Like, sometimes I'll go down, like, YouTube rabbit holes, and you see the things where it's, like, it split screens the footage before and after effects are added.
Yeah.
And you realize, like the characters are, like, a tiny soundstage with just, like, floods and floods of green on either side because now they populate so much of the actual environment with, like, VFX or, like, the droid VFX are really good, or even mm-hmm. we were all talking about the CGI people that they did, basically computer animated, like, humans that now have, I think, like, kind of gotten past the uncanny valley, because like we were talking about how General Tarkin looked convincing enough that, like, Marcus, you thought he was, like, real. Right?
I thought he was a real person, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and. Then Devin explained to me that his actor died,
mm-hmm.
what, like 10 years ago?
He's been dead for a while.
So mm-hmm. he's super dead.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that mm-hmm. that was him. Mm-hmm. And I, if Devin hadn't had told me, I never would have known. I just, mm-hmm. I just wouldn't have known. And, like, I think that's cool. Mm. And Disney's done that before with Tron Legacy. Mm-hmm. Jeff Bridges.
They've come a long way because Tron Legacy Bridges looked pretty whack.
Yeah.
Looked pretty funky.
It was still pretty good then, but I mean, this was like super convincing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but.
I mean, the spectacle was really good. And that's what you come to.
It had a good sense of scale.
Mm-hmm.
The scale was really impressive. It was more impressive than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's. There's a lot of people saying, you know, it's the best Star Wars movie since Empire Strikes Back. Like, I don't think so.
Mm.
But I can see where people would come from with that. I mean, I really, I don't know where I would rank it right now. I mean, but it's very solid.
Well, the thing is too, is that it has such, like, 1977 Star Wars, the fight scenes with their limited capabilities,
mm-hmm.
Like, they were cartoonish,
mm-hmm.
because that's all they were capable of. And now we're just living in this, like, fantasy where, like we can see, like, when a ship shoots mm-hmm. and it hits a different ship and it blows up. It's like you can really feel that.
It feels,
and, like,
it's
you
not
know,
just like pew, 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 pew. It's
we're,
like
we're seeing
massive,
on screen.
Yeah.
We're seeing on screen now, like, what I imagine those old movies to look like. The space battle in Rogue One is what I imagine the space battle in Episode 4 being.
Yeah.
That it's just not when you actually watch it on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, super impressive for 1977, but, like, it's not what you imagine in your head. Rogue One is that, like,
we're there
right
now.
In front of you. Like, we've done it.
And so I think that's the coolest part, because, like, the I mean, Star Wars as an idea is really cool. And now what Rogue One is honestly, it's just an excuse to just make things
make
blow.
More.
Yeah.
It's like, we're pretty good at making these movies now. Let's just make some more of them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad all three of us can enjoy it for its own merits as much as it can as our varying levels of fandom.
Mm-hmm.
And let's continue this awesome talk of positive, happy things that we enjoyed right after this break. So we'll see you in a second. Are back. Welcome back. Hope you had a good pee. I'm assuming you all went pee.
Unless you're driving, then please.
I mean,
have some restraint.
Yeah.
Do you guys? Okay, confession. When I listen to podcasts, I will use their breaks as like pee breaks.
I mean, that seems like good break.
Well, and I'll like feel pressure to time it to the break, like as if a pause button doesn't exist.
Oh,
like
and
a
then
fun
you
challenge
just try
for
to
yourself.
Like go really fast.
I'll just be like, oh, I gotta get back there and come back soon.
Top Shelf Gaming has really short breaks. I only keep it to like 20 seconds.
That'd be
better run.
Yeah.
Yeah, you expect it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have it ready to go. Well, it's our last regular episode of the year.
Yay!
Yeah.
We have ended 2016 with episode 16.
It's been, almost like we planned it that
it's
way.
It's almost like we planned it that way.
We did.
Yeah.
Okay, we did it. I'm sorry.
But it worked out okay.
It did.
Marcus, if you lie, Santa won't bring you presents.
That's called a spin.
I already have this present. I don't need anything
greatest
else.
Greatest gift of all.
2016, as far as video games are concerned, it's just, you know, other things aside, as far as video games are concerned, not a bad year.
It's a dang good year for games.
Yeah, at least we have that. Mm-hmm. Me and you got married, Valerie, and you and me got games, Marcus.
You and Valerie got engaged, and we got engamed.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
I hate myself too. It's fine.
I thought you were going to say me and Valerie got game, and you and... Never mind. So games were good this year.
Games were good this year.
But gaming was good this year. We didn't just get good games. We got We got VR. If you've listened to our podcast.
Are we going to word of the week?
I mean, I thought about that earlier, and I thought maybe we truck through it, but do you think we should word of the week, Valerie?
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I know most of what you're going to say. I'll just scream.
We're just going to talk as obscurely as possible.
All right, here we go. Yeah, let's prove this. Let's see.
This is an end of the year review.
Yeah. I get to scream. So,
end of the year review.
No, but you know, so if you've listened to our podcast before, we had an episode all about VR, and I, prior to experiencing VR, was pretty skeptical of it. One, just because I tend to be a little cynical towards new technology, especially when it seems to be super ambitious, just because, you know, things tend to just not work super great the first time around. This is not VR's first attempt. But then
Virtua Boy. Real good. God, real good.
God rest your soul, Virtua Boy. But, you know, then you and I went to GameStop Expo, and the one good thing that came out of that,
the only good thing,
was that you and I got to experience PSVR.
Yeah.
And it works. Like, it works. We've already talked about, you know, I don't know if I think it's going to change gaming as a whole. Like, actually, I don't think it will. But it's a viable platform. It has a lot to learn and grow. But, you know, we see things like, you know, Oculus and the Vive getting the VR controllers.
Yeah.
You know, it's real. It's here. It works. Like, and that's super, super cool. And you have things like Google Earth.
Did you hear about the Switch?
No.
Their patents seem to suggest that the screen will be able to be mounted like a VR helmet, just like the Gear VR.
Weird.
That is a little... I mean, I guess I'm okay. Well, I don't... Well, because when I think of Gear VR, I think of not there yet. Like, Gear VR isn't what I think of when I think of, like, good VR.
No, but just the sense that it uses an existing thing that's not made for VR, but then it can convert and be mounted onto a face mask. So PSVR is a headset that is
designed for it.
Yeah. And like, this is like, you attach it to
stick
something
it
else,
stick it in a thing, and stick it
and
in your head.
Then it becomes that.
Yeah. But like, I mean, I've used some of those things before, mm-hmm. and like, they're, you know, if because it's just, it's not built for that. Like, it's just the experience is, every time I've tried, and this again might be part of me having weird eyes, like, it just looks like I'm looking at a screen. Like, I don't get any of that sense of like space or dimension that mm-hmm. I got with the headsets. It just looks like I'm holding a phone in front of my face. And yeah. It looks ridiculous. So like, I guess it's cool that, like, you know, I guess I'd rather have more options than not. But Nintendo has worn themselves thin in the past. So
have they? They've never done that. Name one time. Anyway, we're talking about good things,
yeah,
about,
good things
about this year.
Yeah, I mean, so the Switch is coming up. We got the announcement of the Switch,
which that turned, like, that made, like, that set the tone for the rest of this year. Like, everyone who was sour about Nintendo at that moment when that video came out, like, everyone was just celebrating.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to watch that video, and even if you don't think it's for you, it's hard to be like, no.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just disregard that entirely. You know, we're on the topic of Nintendo. Mario Run just came out. I've played it, I don't think it's a game necessarily that I'm going to be putting lots of time into. Like, I kind of came in on Thursday when it released, prepared to pay for it. I played through the levels that were free and was like, no, I'm good for now.
Yeah.
But it's a solid game. Like, it does what they say it does.
Yeah.
It runs well on my phone, not so well on your old iPad.
No.
You know, I'm interested to see how it runs on Android devices when that eventually comes around.
Yeah.
But I think it proves that Nintendo can make mobile games. I think that they, you know, they know what they're doing. Pokemon Go wasn't really a full-on Nintendo product.
Mm-hmm.
So Mario Run being their first entry into mobile gaming, like, cool. I'm all for it. I would love to see Mario on my phone more often.
Well, what's cool about Super Mario Run 2 is that they made it in Unity.
There's only one so far.
What's also great about Super Mario Run is that they made it in Unity.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for, you know, master game makers to be using this, like, third-party game in it's so cool, and like they've leaned into that, and that's something Nintendo historically would never have done.
No.
And like, it just, to me, the biggest news out of Super Mario Run is not the game itself, is that it's a sign that Nintendo is progressing, it's
slowly learning how the internet works.
Yes. And it's like leaning into these things that make the gaming community so great. It's finally starting to, I mean, like, tap into that.
Unity, you know, we were talking about things that changed gaming during the break. I think Unity for sure is one of those things that just completely changed, like, how game developing works and who gaming developing is available to now.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about Mario Run on Unity, I've been borrowing your Wii U this past week and I've been playing a lot of Super Mario Maker. And, you know, Mario Run has different mechanics from, you know, standard Mario, as is Mario Maker. But, like, they feel like they exist together. Like, the physics and, like, just the feeling of that Mario game, like, on Unity, like, it feels like a Mario. It doesn't feel like something that's being shoved into this new weird thing.
Dude, just think of Japanese developers had to learn how to use this thing. Like had to learn how to make games on this completely different engine. Like, they probably sat there watching YouTube videos of how to use Unity. Like the greatest game makers. Hey guys,
welcome to Unity for you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Please like, share, and subscribe. That's
so freaking cool.
Yeah, I mean, so I think mobile gaming just in general kind of hit a good stride this year. You know, I still think Pokemon Go is a garbage game, but, like, it did good for gaming, I think, in as a whole, mm-hmm. I guess. That's probably contradicting part of what I said last week about the Game Awards.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it pushed mobile gaming forward, and I think mobile gaming is just becoming completely normalized. I don't think anyone, you know, you're not the weirdo on the bus playing games anymore. You're mm-hmm. just on the bus.
Yeah.
You're
weird for other reasons.
Yeah, you're weird for all kinds of other reasons.
Probably the whole public nudity thing is probably not doing you any favors, but
just, you know, just but you and that Vita, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
You don't have a Vita, what am I talking about?
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves the Vita.
But as far as, like, specific game releases, Marcus, what were some of the standouts for you? Actually, Valerie, what was the standout video game release for you of 2016?
It rhymes with Moverwash.
Does it?
Does it? Yes. Yeah, no, clearly Overwatch, you know.
Paladins.
I'm all about Beric.
Yeah. I don't even know who that is.
He's
off-brand Torbjorn.
Okay.
Yeah. He's Morbjorn. More like a last Bjorn.
Oh my gosh.
Blorbjorn.
Torbjorn. No, I mean
Toblerone.
Toblerone.
Overwatch came out and it got me interested in multiplayer gaming again.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't cared about that in years. And, you know, it's still the game I play most often.
Mm-hmm.
Overwatch came out and it got me interested in a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It got you caring about video games.
Overwatch is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it, like, people talked about, yeah, so there's, like, people are gonna look back and refer to this period as before Pokemon Go and after Pokemon Go, people aren't talking about Pokemon Go now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're still talking about Overwatch. Mm-hmm. It's like still a very big part of the conversation in both gaming and non-gaming communities. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, that's awesome. And that's great.
And it's just, it's doing so many different things so well. You know, just, it is a great playing game. Just, you know, at, like, the base thing it needs to do is be a good game before anything else. And it completely does that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some questionable things about the loot boxes that we can complain about, but...
Nitpickery, I say.
No. They definitely changed it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's all cosmetic stuff. Like, it's hard to be actually upset about that. But I really want Nutyada. I really want Nutyada.
I've allocated $50.
I spent 10, I will spend 20 more.
Christmas budget.
you know, but, like, even... Like, the, you know, there's an article on Top Shelf Gaming .net talking about, you know, just... There's so many female characters in this
can
game.
Can I get on my soapbox?
Yes, go yes. for it. Okay. Absolutely.
I was wondering when you're going to let me.
Oh. Put it down, and you're standing up.
Okay.
Time
stomp,
to get clean.
Stomp. Okay. So, the reason I, who Devin cannot, basically can't bribe me to touch one finger to a controller of a video game like Overwatch, even though I have not played any of it. I like it so much because of the characters. Because... Devin isn't one to play these games so much, but, like, it seems like a lot of, like, mass-market video games are, like, they're, like, their color palette is entirely gunmetal and steel gray, and the protagonist is always a surly white boy with a square jaw and a troubled backstory, and they're just, like, all dark and dreary, and it's all about shooting stuff. And funny enough, so is Overwatch. Overwatch, it's a shooter game, or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, like, your thing, but... Somehow, they made me like it. Through the characters. And that the characters are all different shapes and sizes. Half of them are women. Another half of those women are brown women.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
One's an animal.
One's an animal. One's a little monkey.
A big little monkey.
A big little monkey. And I remember Devin was watching some video where the... I think like the head designer or... game whatever
Jeff Kaplan
probably he was saying that they wanted it to feel hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally does in that all the kind
so
of the
where's
corners...
my Obama skin
oh my gosh that'd be pretty good.
who would Obama play?
I'm a going for the objective.
Yeah, I'm a...
everybody group up with me.
That'd be awesome. Maybe soldier.
No, we can think of one. We'll
yeah
think of one. But like
Zenyatta.
Obada.
Obada?
Zenyama.
Zenyaba.
Zenyama.
Zenyama.
Zenyama. Zenyaba.
They even have similar kind of face shapes.
Zabama.
Like
Zabama.
Kind of pointy chin and elongated yeah faces.
Zenyama.
But yeah, no, the color palette is bright. Like, in like, there's like no, like... All the corners are kind of, like, rounded. Everything feels, like, fluffy and huggable. Everything yeah feels like it would be made out of, like soft white bread if you were to touch it. Because all the characters are just so huggable.
Well, even the environments, too.
The environments, they're, like...
Like...
It looks like care has been taken to be put into it.
Yeah.
Which is what I like.
Well, you know, like, the winter event's happening and they've mm-hmm changed a couple of the levels. And, like, the details in, like, the changed levels...
Like, you can tell that they... Like, you can tell that the creators themselves are geeking out about it. Like, on Nutyada, the Nutcracker Zenyatta, his little orbs or whatever are nuts
mm-hmm
floating around his head. Like, stuff like that. Like, Devin showed me on Roadhog's gun in his winter skin, there's a little sticker that says, from Junkrat.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that, like, you don't put in unless, you know.
Unless you really
unless
care.
Unless you really care.
It reminds me of, like, GTA levels of detail. You know, like, Rockstar's just, that's what they do, is they just shove detail and depth into their games, just at an aesthetic level, and Overwatch, you know, does that exact same thing, and it's everywhere.
Everywhere. The game is so good, and it's one of my favorite games of this year, because, I mean, for all of the reasons mm-hmm you described, but also because, like, it's a big part of my social life. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a way that I connect with you, Devin, and my friends back in Corona. Mm-hmm. It's I've even made new friends through it, and I don't know, it's been very, it's been a healthy outlet for me, just to, like, have people to talk to when I don't necessarily want to be out being, like, social or, like, being in a social environment, but don't necessarily want to be alone. It's that good balance where I can have the best of both worlds, and it's been really great for me for that reason too.
Yeah, well, you know, if we were to have, say, a Game of the Year show, we might talk about Overwatch more, but in our final few minutes, let's talk about some other games that stood out for us. One for me, it's a game I actually haven't played a super ton, like, you know, maybe like 6 or 7 hours of. Is Doom. It's gonna surprise no one. Doom is kind of universally acclaimed. But I want to talk about actually the Snap Map, the level creator.
Okay.
Because I've probably put as much time into that than I have into the campaign. I deleted it off my account because it's like 60 gigs and I need it for other stuff. I'll get back to it. Doom, the shooter, like, they did amazing things. We can talk about that too if we want to at a later date. But I was really impressed by the map editor. They do both ends of creativity really well. Like, if you just want to press some buttons and make something, you can easily do that. They have just tons of, like, you know, prefabricated pieces you just snap together. But then they have, like, scripting built in.
Ooh, really?
And it's all physical. So, like, you can do it without having to know, like, actual scripting logic. And actually, I would wonder if someone who actually really knew that a lot would actually be frustrated by, like, the simplicity of it. Mm-hmm. But, like, you create, so, like, enemies or whatever. And then, like, you can have, like, physical nodes floating off of them that you then, like, drag and attach to other things. And then, like, you know, you select those and that kind of changes the behavior. And you can connect and attach all these different things in all these different ways and create, like, these huge scripted events. And they've added, like, 2 or 3, like, content additions to their level creation suite.
Yeah.
I think they just actually created something that Mario Maker is lacking, in that you can create campaigns.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Because Mario Maker, you can make levels, but you can't make, like, but you packaged can't worlds, them which together. Is ridiculous, because when you save them in the menu, it says, like, World 1. And, like,
I
you
know. Have
the...
Mario Maker has a lot of problems.
It's so close to being the perfect game, and then it's just not the perfect game. But anyways, that's last year's game.
Perfect bub.
But, you know, I sat for, like, 2 days making this level that was more detailed than any level ever made, you know, in any other game. You know, Far Cry is known for its level creation tools. I've spent a ton of time on that too. But it just makes you feel smart, and it makes you feel accomplished. And, like, then you play this thing that, you know, isn't just, like, a box in a room with the 3 monsters that spawn, you kill them, and that's it. You know, it made me feel like I'd actually created something unique.
Yeah.
Which I hear, you know, I hear Halo 5's Forge mode is actually really good too. Never played it, never touched it, so I don't know. But, like, you know, Doom gets a lot of praise for its gameplay and its mechanics, and it deserves all that. But I think their map creation tools are really awesome, and I would love to see more games give players more creative tools like that. You know, like Mario Maker, like Snap Map does. Like, that's what I want out of better hardware. I want the ability to create new things with the games that I already love.
And the thing about that is that it's so impressive to be able to do that. Like, to be able to make tools that other people can use. Like tools that work that you can pass on and just be like, hey, now you go make this. I mean, only a couple games have been able to do that really well. Disney Infinity had some really impressive tools. It was a really ambitious game. It's dead now.
I got really, because it's on your hard drive on the Wii U, and I saw it, and for like a half a second I was like ecstatic, and then immediately like, oh no, I can't.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah. Now, oh, rest in peace, Disney Infinity. Yeah.
And that was...
Well, that was this year, too. I mean...
Yeah, 3.0, I think, was this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and it's also when it got cut.
Oh, it's so messed up. But, like, and just conceptually, you know, the same way that Mario Maker, like, you know, that has a decades-long history of people making maps. Doom, decades-long history of people making maps. And Disney, you know, people have been making everything imaginable around the Disney universe. And yeah. Then, you know, just the concept with the toy box and just... It was such a perfect concept. And I'm so sad about
no,
that.
No, yeah. But it's hard to do that well.
Yeah.
And especially when you talk about scripting and like events and creating campaigns and whatever, like all of that, to be able to make those tools and package them in the game and have them accessible.
Yeah, have them be like accessible to like the average user.
Yeah. Like that's so hard to do. Mario Maker does that well. It sounds like Doom does that well. And there's a lot of games that have tried to do that.
I think it's where Far Cry kind of falls flat, because they've always had really interesting tools, but they're just not very intuitive. They seem like they are, but then you have to get into it, and it's not as easy to use as you would want it to be.
Yeah.
And so I've always just kind of fallen off. And, you know, someone always makes something incredible with any map editor you give them. But, you know, Mario Maker especially, I think, made it so easy and intuitive to just anybody. Valerie could pick up that Wii U controller and make probably a fairly competent level just because she's a functioning human with a brain.
Yeah.
Got that going for me.
Yeah, that's why I married you, you functioning human.
And you know what? The kids at the game truck that I work at now, just a small aside that like working at Game Truck has given me a perspective, a brand new perspective of like what kids like and like what I think that they like and what they actually like and what they actually play. Completely different things. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that Mario Maker was so popular, 'cause when a kid oftentimes sees that we have Mario Maker, they freak the heck out. Like, they get so pumped up. And so I'll, you know, set up the game and I'll pass it to the kid and I can watch them building and stuff, and like what they're able to do with it is incredible. And like, just as kids, and Mario Maker is, I mean, that wasn't even this year, but like, that game is important too, because it's just like games like that, Minecraft, all of these games that I dismiss.
Yeah.
I'm having to take a step back and just appreciate them, because they're, because these kids are going to be the next game designers, and they're learning how to do that right now.
Yeah, they're already learning those skills, like, at 6, 7 years old. Like, they already know, like, a lot of concepts that didn't even exist when we were that age.
Yeah.
Like at an accessible level to us. Like, there was no, like, way for us to learn those types of things at that level at that age.
Yeah, and, like, even YouTube didn't exist for us to just watch videos and, like, learn from other people. So all of this is just brand new, and it's at their disposal, and we're all going to benefit from it.
Yeah.
Once they're older than 5 years old.
Yeah.
Once they can wipe their own asses. I mean, sorry. This is a family show.
We're going to use our first beat.
You mean they're donkeys. Yeah. They're donkeys. You got to clean up donkeys after them. Yeah. They're just messy boys. Yeah.
Very first beep of the show, and I get to put it in.
Oh, my God.
I'm so excited. Well, all right. So very quickly, Marcus, let's just go back and forth. Just name off games and things we appreciated this year.
Ratchet and Clank.
Ooh, nice one. Uncharted 4.
Ooh, nice one. Skyrim Remastered.
I was going to say Skyrim, but now I'm going to say Dishonored 2.
Ooh, good one. Fire Emblem, Fates.
Which one?
All of them. All three of them.
Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Pokemon Sun and Moon. Valerie, you.
Winston's Safari Skin.
That was a pretty
good one.
Pretty good one.
Titanfall 2.
Titanfall 2.
It's way better than Titanfall 1.
Yeah, it is. Shoot. I feel like I played so many games, but right now, like, on the spot, I'm just blanking.
Let's see. What do we got? We got, Star Wars games. We got Lego Dimensions.
Yeah.
That's been doing pretty good. Yeah. I've never played Lego Dimensions. Watch Dogs 2 came out. Pretty good.
You seem to like it a lot.
Pretty good. It's a pretty good game.
You've been talking about it for like eight years.
I hate the driving.
Oh, my Lanta.
What else came out? I'm trying to think of like mobile games.
You played Mafia whatever.
Yeah.
And then complained about it for 80 okay. years Hitman. Afterwards.
Hitman. Oh my goodness, Hitman. Hitman was a fantastic game.
Yeah.
You should go out and buy it right now.
What came out in January? I feel like there was a very big January.
The Witness came out in February, and that was an amazing game. Yeah. That was a fantastic game.
Didn't do it for me. Sure, I would have loved it if I wanted to spend time being frustrated. Yeah. And I was just like, no, I'm not going to do this.
Xbox finally, like, opening, like, the
Inside.
Out. Inside, of course.
Yeah.
Backwards compatibility on Xbox One.
That was huge.
Xbox One S plus huge. That. Like, my dad just bought an Xbox One. You know, he bought Battlefield, Battlefront, and Advanced Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he has all the 360 games, most of which he can just play now.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why he bought an Xbox over a PS4, because he had a bunch of games ready for it. Xbox is, like, still in the game, which is crazy.
Yeah. They turned it around. Star Fox Zero. I'm just kidding, you guys. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Else Nintendo put out.
What did they put out this year? What was the biggest game this year?
For Wii.
Besides Pokemon.
For
Wii U.
For Wii U, Star Fox Zero.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so not Wii U's year.
Not Wii U's year. Wii U more or less did not exist this year.
Yikes. And, you know, whether you liked it or hated them, we finally got Last Guardian Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Games that have just been, like, frozen in carbonite for over a decade each.
That's crazy.
They both came out this year, and they're both, like, not terrible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you know, you like to see when games finally come out, and they're good, unlike Duke Nukem.
I want to play Final Fantasy.
I do too.
I'm also just like, when am I going to have time to play Final Fantasy?
Yeah, no, I have far too many games to finish. I still have Witcher 3 from last year to
and
finish.
And yet you keep buying them.
Keep
buying games.
You have an actual problem. I'm going to have to say it.
Yeah, it's called a functioning bank account.
It's not always going to be functional.
We're realizing that our finances are changing next year.
Yeah.
We have more bills to pay than more we did this year. But
that's the part of growing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're all growing up. It's almost 2017. I hope you guys all made it through the year. A lot of our famous faces did not. Yeah.
Goodbye, Prince.
Goodbye, Prince.
Goodbye, Bowie.
Goodbye, Bowie.
Bye, Ron Glass.
You know, Shiny was, like, an ode to Bowie. Shiny from Moana.
Oh, yep. I can see that now.
I did hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope you all had the best 2016s that you possibly could have. And I hope that 2017 brings you even more interesting, educational, motivational.
Inspirational.
Constipational. times.
Yeah.
If you enjoy this show, let us know. You can follow us on Twitter at
@topshelf_gaming.
You can send us an email at
trustcircle@topshelfgaming.net.
You can subscribe to us on
iTunes and Yo Mama.
Ask your mom how to subscribe.
iTunes and probably literally anywhere else you find podcasts. Like us, share us, subscribe us, tell your friends. There's 60 whole episodes to listen to now, and there'll be more next year.
There'll be more next year, but only if you subscribe.
Only if you subscribe. Only if you rate 5 stars.
These bills aren't going to pay themselves.
They are. I gotta fund these games somehow.
Fun is crazy addiction.
Thank you for joining us on this adventure, and we will see you guys in the future. Peace.